Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus tells this parable in Jericho just before he goes up to Jerusalem to the final week of his earthly ministry. He tells this parable to his disciples and probably also the other guests at the house of Zechary. He tells them to prepare them for what was coming. They expected the kingdom of God to be imminent and probably hoped for some kind of earthly rule. Well, the kingdom of God was indeed here. Not only imminent, it was here, but different. And the shape, its shape in the future, would be even different than it was here. It would be different than what I had expected, because the shape of the kingdom in the time to come was the form of the church. What does our parable teach us about the time of the church? Well, first, it tells us about this man of noble birth going away. So Jesus, too, will, in one sense, be gone away after his ascension. He will be with his church in a different manner, no longer a visible local presence, no longer a person in front of them, in flesh and blood, teaching them so that they hear the word of God from his mouth. But rather, the church will be guided by the inspired words of his messengers, the apostles and their disciples, as they first were preached and then collected in the New Testament writings. This nobleman is not very popular in his country. He goes away to have his rule confirmed, like some of the minor rulers in Judea did. They went away to Rome to get confirmed, not by the Senate, but by the emperor. And the people, the citizens, send an ambassador after him. They don't want him to be king. They are in rebellion against him. Not an open armed rebellion, but they don't want him king. So is humanity. All men are in rebellion right now against Christ. It showed in the first years of the church. The apostles preached to the Jewish people, and his preaching was not received by the majority. Rather, they proved quite unreceptive to God's revelation in Christ. And so it is today. The gospel shines in the darkness. In a world where men are by nature enemies of God, they are by nature part of the great insurrection. And they show that by serving not the one true God, but serving idols. And they show it by defying the proclamation that Christ and Christ alone is their Lord and Savior. This insurrection is not defeated by armed vehicles and armored troops, nor is it defeated by psychological manipulation or a cunning advertisement technique. It takes the power of the living Word of God to break down the bondage to sin, death, and the devil that manifests itself in an open hostility towards the proclamation of the gospel or in an apathetic indifference. The servants in our parable receive a gift, and the gift given equally to all the servants by Christ is the word of God which is to be preached. So first and foremost, it is here said to the apostles and their successors in the office of preaching. Now, what they do with that gift will have different effects. As some of the servants make more money, others less, so also some preachers of the gospel will bring many to faith. Others might struggle, and their results might be less. But that is not the issue with Christ. He says to each one who is faithful in doing his duty of preaching and teaching, well done. The problem is with the one servant who is not faithful. And what was his problem? He distrusted the master, and he was dissatisfied with him. He thought the master was not fair, that he did not follow the rules of merit. The master seemed to be arbitrary, as God might seem sometimes, because after all, God does not judge according to what people deserve, but he gives his grace to those who are undeserving of it. There was no reward system, something you could rely on. It all seemed to be so arbitrary, so you can't expect it. There was no commission scheme on which this last servant could rely, and that's why he's upset. Those hide the word of God who do not trust God's unconditional love and are unhappy with the free, undeserved pardon God gives. Those hide the word of God who try to make God more palpable to our sense of fairness and justice by making salvation a reward corresponding to our performance, by attaching strings to the free pardon, by trying to justify God's free and seemingly arbitrary grace. But there is also another disease that leads to inaction, an attitude that clothes itself in a good theological argument to justify laziness. After all, God does everything anyway, and it would be presumptuous to try to help God. So let's not fall into the trap of synergism and rather take it easy, because whoever is elect will be saved by God anyway. In a little bit different garb, that view came up in the Reformation by one of Luther's closest friends, a man whom he ordained as bishop, the only bishop he ever ordained, Nikolaus von Amsdorf. Good works are detrimental to salvation. They lead to self-righteousness. Let's not do anything, because ultimately then we will trust in what we do. Well, true, that God will save all he has elect. But the point of being a servant entrusted with the word is not to help God, but to obey his mandate to preach the gospel to all creatures. That's the commission of all ministers. True, there is also the danger that we lose faith in the power of God's word and try to dress it up with all kinds of gimmicks. But there is also the danger that our old Adam, cunning in his ways, abuses good theology to justify his sinful ways. Our parable is a constant question to us who are or will be entrusted with the word of God. What kind of servant are you? So, to whatever place God will call you to serve his word, hear the message of this parable. Be faithful. That is what is expected from a servant, from a steward. You all get to be entrusted with the same word of God. And so you are all on the same plane. If your final document says AR or MDiv or STM, if you have a GPA of 4.0 or those with a 2.1, those with a winning personality and those who are socially awkward, those who draw crowds and those who struggle in obscure places. Be faithful with the task Christ has entrusted to you, and don't worry if others seem to make a greater return on God's word. And in your struggles and your frustrations, remember that you are not in it for your own self-realization or for the satisfaction you get out of it, because the master, your boss, has put you in that situation. It seems then a simple task. Just be faithful. But we all know that faithfulness is not that simple. Between people, faithfulness is difficult. Otherwise, not half of all marriages in the States would end in divorce. And it's also difficult to be faithful to this vocation, because there is the temptation to use something else but the word of God, since its results seem to be unsatisfactory. It is difficult to remain and be faithful, because the years take their toll. The years make us insensitive, frustrated, and bitter, and we think, what's the use of it? Only Christ can give us the faithfulness he requires from his servants. Therefore, we pray for the pastors in the church, and I hope you pray for them, and you will pray for yourself, so that your years in the Lord's vineyard will be blessed. Amen.